Yeah. Damn right, bro. 4 a.m., I'm just getting started. For my birthday, I threw me a surprise party. Reminiscing about the trap playing the first quarter. My life changed when I had my first daughter. Got my first quarter flipping $50 slabs. Your nigga looking at the bills, asking you for half. Cut from a different cloth, take pride in results. Anytime she wanna dip, I'm providing the sauce. You on side of the boss.
A-League Show, episode 39. Starting things off a little, shoot 2 Chainz off that Pretty Girls Like Trap Music album. Have any of us been by that pink trap house? It's been a cultural phenomenon. Everybody taking pictures on the gram at that trap house.
Yeah, I haven't been by the trap house yet. Like, I don't know. It seems like at first it was like, oh, okay, it's just for girls. And then I saw like a guy take a picture out there. I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of a cool picture. Then I saw everybody out there. I was like, wow, this definitely would have been a cool picture when it was cool. And now it's like everyone's there. So if you go there now and take a picture, it's kind of basic. But then you don't want to feel left out when it's gone. So it's a conflicting, you know, thing within my head.
Yeah, I haven't been by there yet, but I will go by there today. I was kind of the ironic thing last night. I was actually driving on Howell Mill last night, and I was thinking about it. I was like, something is in this area I'm supposed to go by. Then I realized, I was like, oh, dang, it's the trap house.
I mean, they calling it now, they're referring to it now as like an Atlanta landmark.
Yeah,
like an
Atlanta landmark. Right. It's like the rap snacks.
Exactly.
In house form.
Exactly. Like, they putting that mess up on the same deal as the, you know, as the like the Varsity and stuff like
yeah,
that.
It's but like that's the Baked Chicken thing. The Varsity, and then the Pink Trap House.
That's it. That's ATL for you. That's ATL. We got a new landmark. What other cities out there that got a pink or even a blue trap house as a landmark? None of y'all. Boston ain't got none of y'all like that.
I don't think any city will allow a landmark to be named with a trap house. I don't think anyone will.
Not Miami?
No. I don't think Miami will.
They might.
I don't know. Miami's pretty fun, so they might allow that.
Yeah, Miami's pretty fun. They may very well be on that stuff, but episode 39. Thanks everyone once again for tuning in, Almighty Baller Podcast Network and everything. Shout out to y'all as always, and everyone for
shout out to Dash
Radio too. Absolutely,
we love you, Dash. You know, we know you're listening to us on a weekly basis, so we just wanted to shout all y'all out and keep listening to us. You know, A League, we here.
We love you, Te Quiero, Dash. Yes, absolutely. All right, definitely, for sure. Thanks, everybody out there, of course, for always tuning in and always supporting us. So, oy vey, NBA free agency. Like, honestly, like, it's, and not only free agency, but also trades. I mean, I was following Twitter and Instagram last night and just scrolling through, and then all of a sudden I see this thing where I'm like, wait a second, is this for real? Paul George to the Oklahoma City Thunder? Like, is this for real? Like, and then, you know, with everything going on with, you know, Chris Paul and Kyle Lowry, it just seems as though, like, the entire, like, what is it with everybody going to the West? It seems like everybody's going to the West. Like, the East got nothing but LeBron James now?
Right. So first, I want to debunk that theory, because everybody's been saying that. But as we were saying last night, as I was saying last night in the group chat, the top 5 seeds in the East have stood pat. So all the best players from the East that are going to the West are from, like, the bottom 6 seeds.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's not that big of a difference of as far as the East goes. That's the strength of the East. But, I mean, and then, you know, the guys at the bottom of the East that didn't make the playoffs, Charlotte, they got better. You know, Miami, they're still the same team, but just as Winslow didn't play last year, but 18 games. And then, you know, also, who's another team? Detroit. Detroit's another team that didn't make it. They were also always on the borderline. They always win about 40 games. So, you know, yeah. I mean, the East is going to be fine. I think the 8th seed in the East is still going to win 40 games at least.
Yeah, the Bulls and the Pacers when they made the playoffs anyways. If Butler would have stayed and if George would have stayed, just,
In the East?
I mean, I expect Miami to make it. Oh, you know, Miami definitely would have been a lock to make it. And then you know, shoot, it's just funny. You know, that's what I was supposed to take Atlanta out, but, you know, Atlanta got a shot to make it.
Everybody got a shot to make it in the East because it's the East. By the way, must we mention the name of that dude that went to Charlotte? Must we mention the name of the dude traded away to Charlotte?
The only player in the East history that can prove he can beat LeBron James.
I got to get that in there because I know you was going to get that into there.
Hey, that Charlotte got better, you know, and I mean, Dwight, he shows that he makes teams win more games. Well, you can debate it or not, but he's shown teams. He has a track record that he makes team win games.
But what I want to, what I'm trying to get to, I guess, is, you know, with not just with, you know, with people going to the East and everything, because I've been seeing memes all over the place like, oh, the next year, you know, the All-Star game next year is in LA at Staples, and everybody's been saying like, oh, the final result from the All-Star game is going to be something like 500-100 in favor of the West. I mean,
the West has always been stacked. I mean, and the thing true. About it is just like
the West wasn't better than the East last year.
Yeah, it's just the West is not, you know, they're not going to get no extra All-Star spot. So, I mean, we're going to probably see the same guys, except for exception like one or two guys difference. I mean, because they got a lot of talent. You know, it was only three forward spots and two starting guard spots. And, you know, who knows how reserves are going to be now. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I don't really expect nothing crazy.
Yeah, Tony Parker, he got jobbed a couple of years in the West, just being in the West. So
true. You know. Do you feel like perhaps that, you know, do you think that the Paul George acquisition by Oklahoma, do you think that perhaps potentially changes things in terms of, you know, in terms of where things are for the West? I don't think it really changes things all that much because, as you know, you pointed out, Rashad, and as so many people have pointed out, that really is only a one-year rental. That in many ways, Paul George is only a one-year rental, and everybody's really expecting him after that one-year rental is over to pretty much ship on over to L.A.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you improve Oklahoma City, but it's still not it's still not going to touch Golden State.
Right, they're not Golden State.
Just two guys. I mean, that's different than Houston right now. It's just, you still got to worry about the Spurs. You still got to worry about somehow, some way, no matter how old that team is, they managed to win 60 games and, at least make it to the second round. And the Rockets have a very hard time beating, like, D'Antoni's never beat Popovich. And
the second best team in the league.
That's because D'Antoni only coaches offense. Popovich puts emphasis on defense. Like, there's a reason why they call Mike D'Antoni Mike Antoni, because he don't coach no D at all, and he's never coached any D for his entire career, even when he was in Phoenix.
It's ironic though, because I think last season James Harden played the best defense of his career. I would say.
Probably. He probably did. But, you know, like I said, you know, we'll see, you know, how all this plays out and everything. But yeah.
if only they combine on one team like Oklahoma City and Houston, it's just lateral, you know, because you still got, you know, you got a slightly improved Houston team and you got a slightly improved Oklahoma City team. And those two teams faced off and
first or second, I think.
Yeah, and now they got to do it again. It's just, you know, like I said, it still doesn't change the fact that, you know, you're probably going to have another Golden State San Antonio West Conference Finals. It's going to be more entertaining now, more star power in the playoffs for the West. But
yeah, and because Kawhi may actually be healthy for that series, because remember, he wasn't healthy for the last one.
But yeah, I mean, in the East, you know, East is always boring.
East is always boring. Quote that from David. East is always boring. But you know,
the Knicks can make the playoffs.
Oh, that was a joke.
For you listeners, you know, that was a joke.
For all you New York listeners, you know what? I'm actually not. You know, as far as I'm concerned, almost anybody can make the playoffs in the East.
Nah. Like, regardless of what happens in the East, the Knicks.
You don't think the Knicks could make it as an eighth seed, even with all even the mess they got stay, going on?
They Derrick Rose averaged 18. I didn't even know Derrick Rose averaged 18 points last year. they were like, because they were talking about, you know, Rose looking at other teams, I guess, or something. And they said Rose averaged 18 points last year, which was the highest he's averaged since 2011. I was like, Rose averaged 18 points? But yeah, still, they're with Rose and Melo and Porzingis, you know, the team stays pat. They're still not going to make it.
Yeah, they're talking about trading Carmelo, and then Rose might not come back. It's my brain in George Hill.
Where do you think Rose goes, though? Because the main place everybody was saying was Minnesota, but they got their point guard now.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe Sacramento.
Chicago. They were rebuilding.
You think
anyways,
he would go back to Chicago?
I mean,
I don't know.
They're rebuilding, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
if they're rebuilding, why would they take on an aging Derrick Rose and that contract?
Oh, well, Derrick Rose, he ain't going to help you win. So
not this Derrick Rose.
And keep the team happy. Keep the city happy. You're not going to win regardless.
Yeah, because the Bulls, they seem like it's just the Bulls seem like just as big a mess as the Knicks right now with everything that they have going on.
Yeah,
so if they bring back Derrick Rose, I feel like they would purely be bringing him back for PR reasons to try and bring people, you know, to the arena.
But what about Derrick
and
Rose
sell jerseys
to the Clippers?
I mean, they got what's his name? Patrick Beverly. I mean,
Patrick Beverly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And plus the Clippers seem even though they did just re-sign Blake Griffin to a huge contract, by the way.
Derrick Rose can't go anywhere, man. Yeah. The more I think about it, like, who doesn't have a point guard?
Who doesn't
Orlando?
Have a point guard? Orlando, maybe.
They got Peyton.
Okay, Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. He's a young guy.
And they're rebuilding, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, where can Derrick Rose go?
Where can he?
I don't think Derrick Rose can go anywhere. The bottom line,
unless he decides he
has to go back to New York.
Unless he decides, like, you know what? Forget this. I'm gonna go overseas.
Oh
unless,
yeah, join the big three.
Unless San Antonio want to take a chance on him, but he don't really. He's kind of different from there.
Oh no. San Antonio.
San Antonio.
That's the team. He can go to San Antonio.
Because San Antonio was trying to go after CP3.
They re-signed Mills.
Yeah.
So they're pretty much kind of. Tony Parker isn't in the plans anymore.
Yeah, he's out to January, so.
Yeah, they could definitely use a point guard.
I don't think they trust Murray like that.
Probably not. They may not.
Oh, definitely not as your only point guard.
Yeah.
You know, one of two, of course, but not as your only. It's like Dennis Schroeder.
I feel like Rose at this point, if he goes anywhere, I feel like it's one of those issues where kind of like what Detroit tried to do in some way with AI at the back end of his career when they made that trade for AI. I feel like if Rose goes anywhere, I wonder if he would be fine coming off of the bench. Maybe. I wonder if he were fine being a sixth man.
If you want to get a ring, that's his best bet.
Hey, it worked for the other AI. It worked for Andre Iguodala. And remember, he played on the same team for many years as Allen. Did he play on the same team as Allen Iverson, or am I tripping?
Yeah, they played together.
He played together for a few years.
Oh, yeah, they're right, because they were calling him the other AI. So,
No announcement from the Hawks. The other thing I've seen was, like, Mike Muscala's getting a lot of interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Hawks are the Hawks.
But, you know, I was thinking about it last night. Okay, so in 2003, if I told you in 10 years or 11 years, the two premier teams in the league would be the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, you'd be like, what? Come on, bro.
No.
Come
no
on.
No way.
In 2003, you'd be like, come on, man.
Nah.
This is before we knew Cleveland was going to get the number one pick. Wait, okay, all right, hold on. So 2002, excuse me. 2002, 12 years. So with that being said, I think in 2029, the Hawks will be championship contenders.
Look out! There go away. There's Rashad saying it right there. Saying it right there. 2029, book it. Hawks, start the parade down Peachtree. Start the parade down Peachtree, 2029.
The Hawks will win the championship, and they'll be perennial championship contenders year after year after year after year.
Lock it in.
How old will you be, man?
I would
lock it in.
34.
In 2029?
2029, I'll be 34.
2029,
man,
I'll almost be in my 40s. I'll probably be going gray hair out of my beard.
I'll probably, you know, I'll be there to watch it with my son.
Oh, man. Man, like 2029. How old is Jay-Z going to be in 2029?
Hey, Jay-Z will still be working on maturing then.
Yeah.
He's still
working on himself, still maturing.
We're going to get into Jay-Z. We're going to get into Hov a little bit later.
He's going to make a song like Cranberries. You should not be doing all that. They're on lemonade now. Then I can do my Cranberries. You think he ain't going to be able to drink no lemonade.
I think he's still going to be rapping in 2029.
This man,
I think
Jay-Z,
so.
Jay-Z will never get old.
I
thought with Magna Carta in 2000, I thought that was it. Because, you know, he kind of seemed like he ran out of stuff to rap about. The only thing he was rapping about was how great his life was. And no one can relate to that. Like,
right.
No one's related to Beyonce in here. You know, we're not billionaires. We never owned a portion of the Nets. So can't nobody relate to that. But this one was for the people. And we'll get into that later.
Yeah, oh, true, yeah. true. Like, it'll just be so interesting. 2029. And Atlanta's still going to be putting out great hip hop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pretty
2029.
Much. Oh, yeah. We Atlanta's still going to be running things around here.
Oh, yeah. Atlanta's running hip-hop until I say about New York had it for, what, 20, 30 years?
New York had it from, like, the start up until about maybe, like, the
2000s.
2002 when Murder, Inc. fell off.
So you're talking about 30 years? That's about 20 years. So I think Atlanta will at least have 20 years.
I'm just kind of scared to imagine how music will sound like by then.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. Because, first of all, like, I was thinking about it the other day, too, like, Yachty and Uzi, and the main thing that you hear in their interviews is like they're just getting questioned about how trash they are, and like how do they feel, you know, about the history and stuff, and da 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 da, and what do you think about mumble rap? And then they're like, oh, I'm not a mumble rapper. You can hear what I'm saying when I rap.
Oh wow.
And, you know, so I think they already get ridiculed enough to the point where real hip hop and lyricism is going to be at the top of mainstream parties and all that good stuff again.
I still can't believe I was checking Twitter one time. Somebody actually referred to the Migos as mumble rap.
They kind of are.
I mean, are they? You think they're kind of mumble rap?
I think Migos are kind of mumble rap because you got to think about Takeoff. Like
Takeoff is the most mumble rap of than Quavo or Offset.
Right, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Without a doubt.
Whenever he makes a song,
I still can't get
over it. Take him off the track.
I still can't get over it.
Do it look like I'm left off Bad and Bougie?
I still can't get over that BET Awards deal with him and Joe Budden. And all three of them all got up at once. Like, you can tell that wasn't the first time.
Oh, no, they got up. I think it was like Offset got up first, then
Offset!
I do it look like I'm left off Bad and Booze. But those guys, man. Migos, I was listening to the radio for like a few seconds today because I went to the gas station first before I came here. Short story that you don't need to know. But yeah, so two Migos songs came on from that Culture album. And I was like, man, this was a really good album. I might buy it. Just because I was thinking about how good the Culture album was. Like, Migos have really took it to the next level here. And I'm proud of those guys.
2017 was really the year.
Definitely.
In so many different ways.
Shout out to Donald Glover.
Oh, him too. Absolutely. Of course, since you had that cameo, of course, you got to give him some love. Obviously. But yeah. I mean, so much has just been so crazy with, of course, you know, music scene, and of course in sports and in basketball, particularly with the whole free agency deal. But sometimes certain things. You know, we're in Atlanta. You know, we follow the Hawks and everything, but sometimes it's one of those dull periods where it's like, oh, not really all that much is going on with the Hawks. And, you know, also you kind of think that even if stuff is going on with the Hawks, is it really going to actually mean something in terms of that championship up until 2029? Once again, plan the parade down Peachtree. Lock it in 2029. I'll be almost, like I said, I'll be almost 40 years old by then. But one thing that actually is going on in some ways with the Hawks is, did anybody check out the new digs, like the way that they're supposed to be renovating Phillips Arena? Like, what is... I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. Like, I feel like the craziest whole part of what they have planned for Phillips are the renovations, the fact that they're going to have a bar or some sort of courtside bar right behind the rim. Like, who dreamed this up?
I don't even know. It's just... I guess it needs something to distract you from the product on the court.
All right. So first, I want to do this.
He clapping. He clap.
I want to thank the city of Atlanta for achieving a new level of blackness.
Oh, gotcha.
To bring a barbershop while you're watching the NBA game. It doesn't get blacker than that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Killer Mike bomb shot.
It doesn't get blacker than that.
Just, oh, man.
That just sound dangerous. We over here, you got your barber over here trying to line up the back of your head, and somebody do a dunk, and you just...
you get up all like, whoa, like, oops.
Well, Kenan off barbershop.
That is the blackest scene.
That would be something.
All they're missing now is the J.R. Crickets in the liquor store.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
But they have the bar behind the basket, is what Kim saying. So what happens when someone shoots an air ball and, like, your drink just knock over?
It just knocks over your drink.
I mean, that happens to people in the stands, of course, but with the bar is just more like likely, I guess, because it's level. You know what I'm saying? With the stands, you have levels and all that, but this one is just one level, so it's
But yeah, it's good that they're gonna have you can walk around the whole arena, because I know it was kind of weird. Like, I visited different arenas all over United States, and it was just one thing, it was just weird, like how you have the suites all on one side and then you can't walk around a complete circle. It's just like,
you gotta be exclusive for that.
Yeah, I was like, Georgia Dome, you can walk around a complete circle. Superdome, and it's just like, it makes things better. It's supposed to just have a better view when you walk in the game. So that's good, too, because, you be literally in the ticket line. You can hear noises, but you had no idea what's going on.
So they're going to have it more open?
Supposedly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know Charlotte has that, and it's real nice. When you walk out and it's like...
Yeah.
It's like beautiful, man.
Yeah.
I think Orlando has it, too. I don't know.
Yeah, Orlando's nice, too. Nice arena. Yeah, but, it's good that Atlanta's trying to make a better place for people to come to the game, because, I'm curious to see, how that goes going forward, because, you have so many distractions around you, like Topgolf.
That's what I'm saying. The Topgolf is too much, man. We got to draw a line.
Yeah,
we already have a Taco Mac at the game. We already have Taco Mac at Phillips. So you're going to talk about, all right, we're going to go to Taco Mac, then we're going to go get a haircut, then we're going to go to Topgolf with the family. Ain't nobody about to be watching that game, man.
Who is it that said in the group chat? Was it Eric that said in the group chat that said that the only thing that's going to be that pretty much is missing is a strip joint?
Oh, no. Jeremy probably said that one.
Shout out, Jeremy. Clark underscore Kent underscore 75. I get my Superman on.
You.
Yeah, but.
But yeah, it's just. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Well, I don't know. It's like, okay, so you have 20,000 pretty much in Phillips on a sold-out night. So more than likely, it's going to be 15,000 a night. 15,000 a night, and then 2,000 are going to be off doing something else. So it's going to be 13,000 people actually in their seats during the game.
I mean, I don't know about going to be in their seats during the game. That's the thing that scares me, because, it's already hard enough that they... it's already hard enough that, people don't get there during tip-off. And then, I remember coming to games sometimes. There'd be some folks in the fan shop.
Right.
And then with the late arrivers, too.
Yeah.
And then you got to think about, not only do you have these attractions like Topgolf and the barbershop and, the club. Why is there a club? Okay.
The Zac Brown
Club?
The club.
But, all right, not only do you have all of these things, but you got to think about the lines for these scenes, because I think it's only like one Topgolf booth, and it's only four barbershop chairs. So you know what I'm saying? So there's going to be long lines to just so people can say, I did this at a Hawks game.
True. And I just, like you said, the Topgolf thing is doing too much. Like, I could go to any stadia in the country. I don't go to a stadium to play, some Topgolf. But
if I wanted to play Topgolf, I would go to Topgolf. Yeah,
exactly. If I wanted to play golf, I would maybe actually go to an actual golf course, or I may play mini golf. Hey, and just as long as I have a 35 handicap.
Yeah, there's one literally There's one Topgolf literally right down the street from Phillips Arena. That's the funny thing about it.
Oh yeah. I don't think that's down the street. Isn't it in Buckhead?
No, it's in Midtown. West Midtown.
I've never been to Topgolf.
I didn't know it was right by Howell Mill.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm just like, just take a little drive, you'll be right there. But, some people like feeling exclusive. But, yeah, just like for me with the arena, I'll just ideally just having like, quicker times to get to your seat and cheaper concessions. And, I didn't want to, like, for me, as far as renovations, I was arenas and the Phillips Arena is nice. It's actually a nice arena, you know. It's just like it's not like it's outdated or anything like that, but yeah, you know, it's just
it's not much to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, of course,
like after a while.
Yeah, like, you know, after a game ends, of course, you know, it's kind of like, dang, we gotta get into our car. But you know,
yeah, no, exactly. I don't agree with that.
Unless you want to go to Hudson Grill or Taco Mac
or the park.
The park at like 10 o'clock.
Well, I mean, you said what you want to do. Like, what can you do at 10 o'clock? Go to the club.
Well, Atlanta, like, as we know, we do have a pretty good nightlife.
Yeah, it's like the clubs, Peachtree, which is down the street. It's a 15-minute walk.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there are things to do. I mean, I feel like that there are definitely things to do. They may not necessarily be the things that, you know, some people may want to do.
Edgewood is like a 30-minute walk.
Right?
I'm trying to walk 30 minutes.
Yeah. ain't nobody trying to walk 30 minutes.
The thing about me is I'm a walker. I mean, I will walk 30 minutes if I get to a certain
place. I did walk.
Yeah,
to, you know, because my dorm was on Edgewood, but
this is America. We trying to make things more convenient for everybody. You know that you don't have to leave your couch,
right.
Or just hop on the MARTA.
I think there's some things you can do. Yeah, exactly. The MARTA's right there, Dave.
Yeah, it's right
so,
there.
So you can take the MARTA to Peachtree, and there you go.
I don't look at stuff like, you know, the Lakers, they have, it's like they got movie theater and restaurant stuff right by the arena.
Yeah.
And you can literally walk out there, you know, it's like literally just, like I said, like you walk out the arena, your only options is Hudson Grill or Taco Mac.
There are stats.
Oh, yeah.
Stats and that little strip down there. With the Waffle Houses.
Yeah,
it's like, a bunch of Waffle Houses.
Like, you look at the Braves SunTrust, you know. They got
Braves SunTrust. It's like Braves Utopia over there now.
Pretty much.
That's what I would like to see with the Hawks. That would be real nice.
You can't do that downtown.
Yeah, because downtown's already pretty much packed.
Yeah.
Like, you could do that in Cobb County, and the Patriots have something like that, too, with Gillette Stadium and Patriot Place.
Yeah.
So that's, you know.
did you hear what they're trying to do with the Gulch?
Yeah, that's what I thought they were trying to do.
I mean, but that's just... Where are people going to park?
Exactly.
There's not enough parking downtown for that.
Right.
There's not enough parking downtown for that.
Man, it's so crazy. It is so crazy. Like, all these developments that are going on where they know that there's not enough parking. Like, I remember what episode we talked about this. It was a long time ago, but they trying to get people on this MARTA. Like, they trying to get as much people as they can with everybody moving here. They really trying to get people on this MARTA.
They can get it extended.
That was my conspiracy with the bridge.
And they can extend it like they're supposed to. It's Gwinnett and Cobb. They will get the people on that they want there, but
yeah,
you know, these governments can't agree on nothing.
True. I just think that, you know, with everything that's going on with these arenas, I just think that all these, you know, all these teams and all these cities are really, you know, pretty much trying to outdo each other. Like, you know, Milwaukee, they're building a new stadium. Detroit, they're building a new stadium. You know, just so many different places that they're, you know,
Detroit's building a new stadium.
Because remember, they were like in somewhere Michigan, which was
Auburn
like
Hills.
Far away.
Oh, I
yeah,
they
yeah.
moved to Little Caesars. I thought that was.
Little Caesars Arena. Yeah. Yep.
That's already
imagine your team playing in Little Caesars Arena. Couldn't be
oh,
my
so
team.
That's temporary.
Yeah, no, that's a permanent deal in downtown Detroit.
That's a brand new arena they're gonna be building.
I couldn't root for no team playing in no Little Caesars Arena.
Well, but Little Caesars is big in Detroit. They're big in Detroit. They're
hot and ready rebounds. Hot and ready. Wings,
and they got the Red Wings. They got the Red Wings too. Playing the only thing about the Red Wings is that it's kind of sad that they're moving out of the Joe, Lewis Arena to go into their new digs.
Right.
But yeah, the Pistons, they're moving out of the Palace of Auburn Hills and, you know, into this new arena. And I just feel like, you know, with all these new arenas, everybody's trying to outdo everybody.
You know why?
Because
the Warriors.
Because the Warriors.
The Warriors have forced the NBA to get better in all aspects of the game.
I just look at it as a business. You know, you're looking at teams that, like, you know, like the teams are getting sold at prices higher than they've been sold before. And, you know, what better way to increase value?
Everybody's trying to outdo the Warriors.
Everybody, what's a better way to increase value than try to, you know, because you look at the Clippers, I think they got a billion. And the Hawks kind of screwed up theirs. Got like, was it 700K?
The Clippers are building a new stadium too in Inglewood.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, these teams are trying to cash out. Like, you know, for years they've been rumored that Minnesota's going to get sold and then the Nets are going to get sold. You know, these
New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah. New Orleans, you know, these teams trying, these owners trying to make money. It's like this new side hustle. Buy a team, build it up, and flip it.
New Orleans, right. that's an empty stadium, man. It always looks empty on TV when I watch New Orleans.
That's such a shame, though, because they got one of the best players in the NBA, and they cannot fill the gym. They got two of the best players now in the NBA with AD and Boogie, and they can't fill the gym. I mean, that's a football town.
I mean, right there by the fun stuff, man. It's kind of...
There's too much to do in New Orleans. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, like, you know, New Orleans, it's a Saints town, so.
Saints
know.
And LSU. Once again, shout out to Eric. He's probably Church loving this teams. Part.
Yeah, so, you know, like, if they, it would literally have to be like how it is here, you know, being a college football town, you know, like the Pelicans got to literally be like in the NBA Western Conference Finals to get the attention. But, you know, the Pelicans, you know, never went past the second round, so.
Yeah.
And then also another thing, LSU is like an hour away from New Orleans. It's like UGA. To Atlanta.
True.
And both of them are trash anyway.
Both of them trash anyway?
I still support Anthony Jennings, though.
Oh, just so you know, Rashad just dissed UGA and LSU in the same.
I was saying LSU and the Aints. We're trash.
I thought you were dissing UGA.
I was saying, you know, how you said New Orleans is an LSU town. And I was like, okay, they can be LSU town, but LSU's like an hour away from New Orleans.
They can be an LSU town.
Like how Athens is like 45 minutes away from Atlanta.
New Orleans is an LSU town. Like that's like the big thing. They're a football state in Louisiana.
Right, definitely.
Right, exactly. It's kind of like Houston. Like Houston, like Texas and Texas A&M aren't technically within the city of Houston, but there are a lot of A&M and there are a lot of Texas fans.
They need to root for Houston because Houston got a good team.
True, yeah.
Get behind Houston.
Yeah, they kind of, you know, they just kind of under the radar and everything.
Lost their coach. And.
But you're talking about Golden State. Even Golden State's moving to a new arena.
I hate that
like,
move.
Oracle's like... ending in a couple of years.
So. I hate that move. Why are you moving out of Oakland?
Folks can't stay still.
Moving out of Oakland to go to San Francisco. I hate that move.
It goes back to what David said. It's all about the money.
It is.
Like, why is Oakland? Why are the Oakland Raiders leaving? Because of money.
Because of money. Yeah, true.
It's absolutely. All because of money, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy they do leave a big market, but, you know, they say Vegas works. I mean, NHL doing it, it's only a matter of time for the NBA does it.
You said Vegas works? How do they know? They never had a – there's never been a Vegas team.
I mean, they had an All-Star game once in 07.
I mean, yeah. I've seen them believe in it so much, I'm just surprised to leave a big market for a small market, but, you know.
I guess it could be like an OKC deal. How OKC, like – when the Hornets went there for a year.
Yeah.
And, like, they sold out because there's nothing else to do in OKC. And then, the Thunder came over. And they weren't that good the first couple of years. But they sold out every game because there's nothing to do in OKC. Yeah. But there's something to do in Vegas.
Yeah, it's like tourists. It's a tourist town. I'm just curious to see just, like, how that works. But, I mean, Raiders is clearly the – they should have moved to that new that Stan Kroenke project, that would have been hurt for them. Right there, move back to L.A., that would have been straight.
Well, you know, I think the A's are building a new stadium.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know.
It's like just, maybe it's like
they could move with the A's.
It's like everybody's moving in with everybody. But it's just, right. I just feel like it depends on, you know, with the A's deal, it depends on how, you know, what the configurations of the stadium are going to be. But then again, they've played football games in, you know, in traditional baseball stadia like Yankee Stadium and Wrigley Field. So it may not even matter in that sense. But
right.
But it's just crazy with all these, you know, new arena development projects. And like I said, everybody's trying to compete with everybody.
And just leverage and stuff. Now it'd be like, you know, we can move to one of the largest markets. You know, we don't get this public to pay for our arena. Move to Oakland. We can move to London.
Also, hold on. London. I just thought about London. Something, David. So you want the Hawks to kind of like get, you want like a utopia, kind of like, you know, the Patriots place and the Braves stadium, but with new stadiums. Well, not new stadiums, but kind of like the thing around it, the area around it. It's kind of inevitable that you have to gentrify. So where do you stand on the side of gentrification and building these utopias around the stadiums?
I mean, with that area. With that area, you already know what's coming. You know, you look at the George Dome right there in the neighborhood that is in. You know,
yeah.
You see, you know, Herndon Homes is, you know, that thing's torn down. You know, they're gonna,
the oldest church in Atlanta.
Yeah,
gone.
Yeah,
it's coming. You know, it's
parking,
you know,
lot.
That, you know, that
is crazy.
That west side, you know, it's a lot of, I guess it's a lot of good real estate right there that's gonna get, you know, built right back up. I mean, it'd be nice to, perfect world, yeah, it'd be nice to have affordable housing to be able to, you know, maintain the neighborhoods the way that, you know, just improve them.
Georgia State Stadium.
That, you know, it's
former Turner Field.
It's unfortunate, you know, it's like, you know, I'm trying to push.
Yeah. It's.
You know, they trying to.
Stadium politics in this town has just gone absolutely crazy.
But that's every town, though.
And trying to get right back downtown, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, just thinking about what, you know, with these, all these developments, like the Braves are in a new stadium, the Falcons are about to move into a new stadium, the Hawks are basically renovating. The thing that I just kind of don't like is that the Hawks are renovating this new stadium, and the fact that they pretty much, for the next couple of years, they pushed the Atlanta Dream into Georgia Tech. So, so that's the, you know, that's another thing about that. But I just feel like that, you know, they can have, you know, the barbershop. You know, the barbershop's cool. You know, no doubt about it, I believe the barbershop is definitely gonna be cool.
$30 haircuts.
$30 haircuts.
The thing that's
yes.
hurting me is that the Dream games are still empty in the Tech Arena.
Oh,
the Tech Arena isn't that big.
It's not big.
It sucks. You know, I hate to say it. You know, being a woman's sport and then promotion. I haven't seen any billboards or anything like that.
The WNBA or the NBA hasn't done a good enough job with the WNBA as far as promoting it. Like you said, there's one commercial. Everybody makes fun of the commercial because that's the only commercial is with NBA stars talking about why you should watch the WNBA. How about WNBA stars telling me why I should watch the NBA? If you're going to have one commercial. Well, I mean, but I guess because no one knows them because you don't promote the league in the first place.
Well, there is that one commercial that airs on it that I see on NBA TV, that Watch Me Work commercial. Like, well, I saw that
before the season started everywhere.
Yeah.
Once the season started, all I saw was the NBA players one.
Well, I've seen, on a few WNBA games, like I've seen that commercial.
WNBA games.
Right. Yeah. On WNBA games.
Where has it been during MLB games or NBA games?
True. Especially with their All-Star game coming up in Seattle next month.
On the annoying NFL live editions that I hate in the middle of June.
Right. That's true.
I mean, maybe Atlanta's just not a good market for women's basketball.
But that's every market. Like, the WNBA period is what we're trying to say. It just isn't getting attention. Like,
I mean, you think it should be in a big city? I mean, like,
well, there ain't a lot of big cities. They're trying to expand in San Francisco.
Like, Los Angeles. Los Angeles just won the title. They have the reigning MVP and the league's biggest star. So, and they still can't sell out games every night.
I mean, like,
so what's the problem?
I mean, like, you know, you had a team like in Lexington or something, you know, how would that work versus, you know?
Well, you know, you had the Tulsa Shock. Yeah. And that didn't work out. They moved to Dallas.
And they have the team in Connecticut.
And they have Skylar Diggins, one of the biggest stars in women's basketball.
Well, Skylar Diggins is probably the biggest face of women's basketball. But the thing about Skylar Diggins is
I don't know. Could you say that?
I think that she's up there. I mean, she's definitely up there. With Maya Moore and Candace Parker and, you know, and as well as Breonna Stewart. But I feel like in many ways that, you know, they're in a lot of big cities. You know, like you said, they're also in Connecticut. They're also in Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun Arena as well. But, you know, I just feel like in many ways that, like you said, it would be nice if they were more well-promoted, that they were more well-talked about more. But I just feel like, you know, it may very well be one of those things where they're just struggling for attention. And it's so weird that women's basketball players, they talk so much about, you know, how much attention that they seemingly don't get, not to mention going overseas when the season ends.
Right.
And they say that they get more attention when they're in college.
Right,
like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Breonna
Stewart said that. I was thinking about that when I was watching.
Year.
Yeah, when I was watching Connecticut and I forget Seattle.
Seattle. Yeah.
Connecticut and Seattle. I was thinking about that Breonna Stewart speech last year at the ESPYs.
Yeah.
And that didn't change anything.
I mean, she
tried to make a change on the world's biggest stage on our biggest platform. And it still didn't change anything.
I mean, you know, change, you know, it's, I feel like it's one of those issues where, you know, change, it's not one of those things that's going to happen overnight. I mean, it's going to be something
that's
going to happen
gradually.
I feel
like the WNBA had lots of attention from 2003 to 2006. Like, I thought, like, the WNBA was getting some love. Like, they were kind of considered a fifth major league in a way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know?
I mean, well, not a fifth because you have NASCAR, but probably like a sixth major league.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were getting a lot of attention. We know who the stars were. These days, if you don't watch the WNBA, you don't know who the stars are.
Yeah.
You know, you might know Brittany Griner. You know Skylar Diggins, and you know Candace Parker and Maya Moore.
Candace Parker, Maya Moore.
That's it.
Right. But I feel like you said, it all goes back to marketing. It really is, in many ways, the same problem that Major League Baseball has.
Right.
Because Major League Baseball not only do they do a horrible job of marketing their stars, they do a horrible job of marketing their stars to an NBA audience. Right. That the reason as to why the NBA, in my opinion, is the number two sport behind the NFL is because the NBA actually knows how to market their players. Baseball don't know jack about marketing their players.
There is not enough baseball commercials. I think Jose Altuve, he had a if I pronounce that correctly, he has a new commercial, but that's like the only dude I know that has a national commercial. I think Trout has a commercial, maybe, or Harper, one of the two. But exactly, like, if you don't watch baseball, you will only know three players right now.
Right.
And that's Trout, Harper, and Aaron Judge.
Pretty much, yeah. And Aaron Judge gets a lot of love just because he's a Yankee. And on top of everything else, more so, they're getting these local endorsement deals. Like, I know you mentioned Breanna Stewart a little bit earlier. I know she has been, you know, kind of getting a little bit of love from Skittles, which ironically is the same company that gave Marshawn Lynch love when he was playing for the Seahawks. So it's something with Skittles in Seattle.
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know Breanna Stewart had some deal with Skittles.
I don't know if it's a deal, but I know they were shouting it out.
So. Yeah, I haven't even seen a commercial. So, like, that's just another problem. Like, you know, and I watched the WNBA. So it's just like, you know, the WNBA, they have to do better. Kelsey Plum's getting number one pick. She's getting $50,000.
Yeah.
And
did she just sign with Nike?
I don't know.
I think she probably did.
She seems like a Nike athlete.
Yeah.
But, you know, the WNBA, they just have to do a better job of promoting their stars. So does baseball on a national level. Because within baseball, I think people know the guys. But outside of that, people don't know.
Yeah, I just remember growing up, you know, elementary school, you know, small ball wasn't a big deal. It's the big home runs. And that's the only reason they got my attention. Like, you know.
But they're back to it.
Oh, really?
Last night, they set the new record for most home runs in a month.
Because they ain't got no dominant guy.
Like Aaron Judge.
And that's only because he's playing for the Pinstripes. You're a star on the Yankees, you automatically gonna get love.
And then Corey Bellinger from the Dodgers. He's another rookie that's hitting a lot of home runs.
Big market guy.
Corey Seager is hitting a lot of home runs.
Oh.
There's guys hitting. Stanton, of course, as always, is hitting a lot of home runs.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, you have the guys hitting the home runs in baseball. Like, I think baseball's coming back. I think baseball is back. And it's just taking casual fans a little while to come back. But baseball's back, man.
Speaking of commercials, did anybody see that Matt Ryan Gatorade commercial?
I haven't seen it.
That commercial got me so hyped I wanted to run on the field myself. And I don't know. It got me hyped for the season, man. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, it just, you know, I know that some folks are gonna, you know, kind of, you know, maybe take it the wrong way because, you know, oh, you just came off that huge Super Bowl, you know, loss, you know, had the 28-3 lead.
We don't speak on that.
We don't speak on that.
Well, speaking of the state of Massachusetts.
Oh, here we go.
The green team in Massachusetts.
The green team.
That plays basketball.
That plays basketball.
There's a curse on them.
A curse?
The curse of RJ Hunter. Until you sign RJ Hunter or do my man's right, y'all will never get to speak any of these players that y'all talking about into existence. It won't happen.
Wow.
Y'all couldn't get Fultz. Y'all couldn't get George. Y'all couldn't get Butler. We just got one more person I need. Just one more person I need to not go to that green team.
I just look at it like this. You know, it happens. So.
Man, we got a green team out here. You know, they talking about, oh, we going to get this. We going to get that. And the Hawks ain't going to get nobody. Well, it looks like both of us ain't getting nobody.
I mean, it's pretty much have the same team returning from the Eastern Conference Finals. Worst case, you know. So,
but I mean, that got, oh, well, they didn't get swept.
They didn't get swept.
They were more than one game away of getting swept.
Something that the Atlanta basketball team could never do.
Oh, man, really?
We definitely would have won game three if Shevlin Mack would have hit one of those threes.
He were if, but, you know.
He just had
Boston.
Well, okay, yeah. The only difference is Avery Bradley hit the three in game three, and Shevlin Mack missed it. That's the only difference between the two teams.
You know, it happened. You know, they won. That's all.
You sure about that, David?
Yeah, they won.
You sure? Yeah. They, wow.
Yeah, can't take that away. You know.
True.
You know, just put
it's 1-3
difference. But yeah, just. I mean, that's the thing. Like,
they got to do RJ right.
That's the thing. Like,
shout out to RJ. He's not on the Trailblazers.
I'm not even worried about it. I mean, I look at it like this. Like, I look at Cleveland. I'm worried about them because, you know, everybody talks about dominating the East. You know, them dominating the East. I'm like, what? That's pretty much a participation award for the Cavaliers now because I'm like, they missed out on Jimmy Butler. They missed out on Paul George.
Come on.
Oh, they couldn't get.
Let's talk about the green teams.
No, I'm saying.
Cleveland still got all LeBron.
I had to sit up here and listen to LA going to get this. Boston going to get this. And I say, y'all say this every year. The media throws it out. The national media throws it out to make it seem like
about
this
LA
is going to happen. This is going to. Paul George going to go here. Russell Westbrook going to go to the Lakers. And it never happens year after year after year. And I told y'all this back in last July. I told y'all this in October. I told y'all this in November, January, February. Oh, you just hating, Rashad. Oh, you just. And none of these dudes done went to these teams, man.
Get them!
Brooke Lopez? Brooke Lopez? Is that the biggest player that we have going to these two teams?
Get him!
Brooke Lopez?
No.
Get him!
LA, they're talking about, you know. Magic Johnson clearly said, you know, it's next summer. They're not trying to do anything this year.
Man. And then they change it to, okay, we just rebuilding for the next year, in the next offseason, in the next offseason.
I mean, that's smart.
Westbrook was supposed to go to about 2-3 years ago.
Westbrook's still on the
Kevin Love was supposed to go to the Lakers about 2-3 years ago. And then these things never happened. They never come to fruition.
Different management.
The biggest thing we had was Alice Horford going to that green team in Massachusetts.
That is the biggest thing that has happened between these two teams.
That is ridiculous.
I'm just saying.
So when are we going to stop this myth? He's going to the Lakers. He's going to this. It's not going to happen, bro.
I'll see next summer about the Lakers because they have the money and they have different management. It's just.
We say this every year.
I'm saying that Jim Buss, that was a horrible era. You know, you give Timothy Mozgov opening free agency $16 million a year.
Man.
Luol Deng $17 million a year. This is a different management. Yeah, you know, I'm going to see what Magic does. I mean, like, Jim Buss was awful. You know, they were trying to tell people, you know, when the free agency meetings and stuff, you can be a star. And I'm just like, you can be a star in L.A. Somebody, like, you can be, like, a movie star and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, these guys are trying to play basketball. They're trying to figure out what all-stars they're going to play with. This is a different age of NBA where exposure is you can be a star. You know, if that went by the logic that the only place you can go be a star is in L.A. and New York and stuff like that, then how, you know, Peyton Manning and Kevin Durant and stuff, LeBron James, all big stars in small markets. And, you know, it's just, you know, the NBA's changed. And, I mean, I'll just give Magic a year just to see what happens. And as far as Boston, you know, they're playing it cool. I mean, I'm just like, you know, you just came back from the Eastern Conference Finals. And, again, like I was saying, I'm concerned about, you know, nobody expects Boston to win a championship this year. Nobody expects them to win the East this year. But, you know, I'm just trying to see what Cleveland's going to do. And I'm not saying to pick on them. I'm just really concerned because, you know, the thing that's been dominating, you know, because Golden State just won a championship, but you think Cleveland won, how much headlines they've gotten compared to Golden State.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, they're like, oh, they might get Jimmy Butler. They might get Paul George. And I'm just like, you know, they lost to Golden State in 5 games.
People saying they may get Melo.
Yeah,
people
just,
saying that.
You know, just
Cleveland
like,
messed themselves up.
I was like, how are they going to compete again? Because everybody knows it's going to be Golden State, Cleveland again. And if it's a 4-0 sweep, because if Cleveland brings back that same team, they're going to get swept.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They cannot go into next year's NBA Finals with the same team. And what you were saying earlier, Rashad, about the Lakers and the Celtics, I feel like a lot of people in the media, I feel like because they have this, it's like they want to bring back Bird versus Magic. So I feel like in many ways, you know, when people say, oh, he's going to go to Boston or they're going to go to LA, I feel like they're trying to bring the 80s back because they want that back so badly and they can't understand the fact that, hey, it's a new era. Golden State is dominating the West. Golden State's dominating the whole NBA. Cleveland's dominating the East. And it's like some people just can't get it through their thick skulls that, you know, Boston has had its time, LA's had its time, and you know, it's time for the new blood.
New York was like that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, just I applaud teams that are building through the draft. You know, like LA, Boston. I was kind of nervous that the Lakers would go ahead and just gut their team for Paul George. And Paul George is not LeBron James. You know, like I like Paul George. I like watching him play and stuff. But
Paul George can't get you a win in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. The Eastern Conference playoffs, y'all said that was so bad. Yeah. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's why I was just like, you know, like Lakers just stand pat. You know, you got Lonzo Ball, you got Brandon Ingram, you got Julius Randle, you got Zubac. You know, stand pat, you know, just do that. You know, just like there's really no rush. Don't be like the Brooklyn Nets who got their who mortgaged right. their future.
Yeah.
Who mortgaged their future to, you know,
try to build a super team.
Yeah, to try to compete with the Miami Heat and couldn't even make it past the second round.
The thing is that they tried to build a super team with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, but they tried to build a super team when they were already over the hill.
Yeah.
Like when they were pretty much washed.
I mean, just GM stuff got to be smarter. I mean, like you look at, you know, I think a lot of GMs are smarter. You know, you don't see like these dumb trades. Like, you know, I mean, the little Boogie trade was kind of dumb, but, you know, but, yeah. And then this latest Paul George trade was quite interesting. I was surprised that he got off of so less, but,
yeah.
And, you know, these GMs, you know, they seem smarter. You know, like nobody's like back in how it was like 10 years ago when you see like the Cavaliers, you know, somebody giving up Antoine Jameson for a Big Z.
Yeah.
You know, and then be able to buy out Big Z and then get him back in 30 days, you know.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like these GMs are smarter and, you know, it's just, so, I mean, it's all about team management. So, I'm like, you know, like, yeah, don't do nothing crazy by trade two of your first round picks to get somebody who might leave or, you know, get somebody that, like, oh, you might win two games. So, I mean, just take your time. But, you know, like I was saying, like, Cleveland, I'm just trying to figure out what they're going to do because it's just like, you know, because I, like, the finals, I did not like the finals this year. It was just like, you know, five games. I was hoping it went to seven. You know, you had social media. You talking about J.R. Smith talking about going seven games, and you know, of course, you got people that, you know, hype up this matchup so much, and you know, it was five games. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, you look at these guys they got. You know, you miss out on Jimmy Butler, Paul George stuff, and your free agents are Deron Williams, Kyle Korver, and
not exactly the murderer's row of free agents.
And then you get a year older Kyrie, a year older Kevin Love, and a year older Tristan Thompson, who played horrible this final.
Exactly. It's like they can go through the East, but it's like, you know, what's going to happen when they actually get into the NBA Finals? Because like you said, if they go up against Golden State again with this team, they're not going to win. I don't see this Cleveland team beating Golden State.
I don't think a year older Kyrie's that bad. He's like 24.
I mean, just like I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, you know, you just got more mileage and stuff because, you know, you look at teams that like played in the playoffs like multiple years. Like I remember the Kobe Powell and Odom Lakers. You know, they went to the finals like 3 years in a row. They looked tired against Dallas, and Dallas ran them out the gym. You know, Miami Heat. They went like 3 years. They played the Spurs 14, got ran out the gym. And it's just like, you know, like you look at Cleveland, they're real top heavy, you know.
Cleveland did it to themselves. LeBron James did it to Cleveland, and Cleveland did it to themselves.
And another thing about that, you mentioned that 2014 team that played against the San Antonio Spurs. Remember, because of that Ray Allen shot in 2013, the Spurs were on some unfinished business type of stuff where they were pretty much like, oh, we gonna get back up here and we wanna beat these boys in the, you know, we wanna beat these dudes in the NBA Finals. We wanna come back much stronger than ever. Oh, and something else as well. Shot, you mentioned New York. David, you mentioned Brooklyn. Speaking of someone from New York and Brooklyn, anybody listen to that Jay-Z album yet?
What y'all think of it? I've heard some of it. It was pretty interesting. I was surprised at the story of OJ. I didn't expect him to cover it, but it seemed like everybody's trying to hop on the OJ bandwagon. You know, you got FX, ESPN doing their shows, and then now you got people making songs about it, and then he's about to, you know, go up for parole in this month, I believe. So it's like it's pretty interesting. Like, you know, he seems to be on some different stuff this album. I see some growth, you know, some vulnerability, and It's shoot, you saw the whole album on Twitter. You got pretty much everybody over here tweeting out lyrics and stuff. I was like, dang, I don't even got to know what the song, I don't even have to listen to the song, know what it's about. But it looks, from what I've heard, it's pretty good. Like, I mean, I can't say it's better than like a Reasonable Doubt or a Blueprint or anything like that. But it's a good album. I mean, I don't think it's like the way like how LeBron James and all these other people hyping up like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, I don't know about all that, but.
We talk about these artists all the time that sometimes I feel like they get by more or less on their brand more so than on their artistry. I feel like Beyonce is on that level. I feel like Drake is starting to get up there on that level.
Get you, man.
What was that?
The Beehive gonna get you.
Go ahead, King.
Bring on the Beehive.
Go ahead, King.
Bring it on. Like, bring it on. Get at me. Get at me, dog. Get at me. But, you know, I just feel like in so many different ways, Hov is trying to get by on his brand, and he can do that in many ways because he's such a businessman. But
he's
He's a businessman. But you know it. You know, I feel like one of the things that kind of struck me out as far as the album goes is that, you know, like you were saying, David, you know, he was showing some growth and showing some, you know, vulnerability. I just feel like, you know, he's kind of, you know, gotten onto that, you know, onto that stage where it's like he's now all of a sudden recognizing like, yo, I'm a 50-some-odd year old rapper. So I'm pretty much, you know, on some stuff where, you know, I gotta start like being the mentor or something like that for this new crop of young cats that be coming in, like the Uzis and people like that, the Yachty's. So that was the thing about it that just, you know, struck out to me. And, you know, I also saw that, you know, it's probably going to get around attention around here, is on one of the tracks, I think it was Kill Jay-Z, where he pretty much threw some shade at Future, talking about, you know, I'm playing football with your son in the future, playing football with your son. And when I was like that, I was like, yo, like, really, he's dropping disses. He's dropping disses on Kanye, dropping disses on Future, dropping disses at the Kardashians. Like, where's all this coming from?
Well, I heard that Kanye had a falling out kind of with Jay-Z and Beyonce. Like, I think Kanye said it in one of his rants on that tour before, you know, he ended the tour and stuff.
When he went off the deep end?
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, he went off the deep end when he started going to the Kardashians.
Well, the last thing, the reason why the tour ended was because I think Kim got robbed in Paris or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then, you know, he left that show and then he just ended the tour after that. Mm-hmm. But, oh, yeah, but with Jay-Z, I always had two complaints about Jay-Z. And that was, one, he thought he was greater than Jesus Christ. And then two, the second one was, when he got older the last few years, he ran out of things to rap about. So he was just rapping about his status, which no one could really relate to. So he was kind of just talking about nothing in my eyes for the last few years.
Yeah, he liked to jump on trends too, so, you know.
But this album, I'm telling you, man, this album is something serious because both of those things, he addressed both of those things. And he came back with he's actually talking about stuff. There's great content in it. I love the album. You know, I don't think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't think it's the greatest album ever. But, you know, I don't even think it's the greatest album this year. But it's up there definitely with Kendrick's album.
Oh, I was just about to say, Kendrick's is definitely the album.
Yeah. Shouts out to those two guys raising the bar.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And Jay-Z, I respect it. Salute. You know, I don't even like Jay-Z like that because of the two things I said. But he addressed both of those things. He addressed religion, why he's spoken down on Jesus and God in the past on tracks and all of that stuff, and the reason why he kind of turned his back from Christianity and all of that. And then, so I mean, it's just nice to hear that he acknowledges it instead of just speaking down on it.
Right. I think that another one of the things about the album that struck out to me was when he, you know, pretty much put out there that his mom was a lesbian,
right?
And pretty much, you know, pretty much putting that out there, that, you know, that stuff about his mom, and, you know, bringing that to the forefront, because I do feel like, you know, there is a perceived problem, you know, within the hip hop community, that perhaps, you know, if, you know, if someone comes out or if someone is, you know, talking about that type of, you know, culture, that it's going to be in some way, shape and form, in, you know, looked down upon. So I do feel like that, since it's someone of his status that's actually rapping about it, I do feel that will bring more attention to it. And I do feel like that, you know, I feel like this could be, you know, him rapping about his mom, you know, coming out being a lesbian. I feel like that would be, you know, something that could be a huge step in terms of, you know, the LGBT culture becoming more appreciated and accepted in the hip hop community, which I do believe it does.
Did you know Bruce Jenner was a lesbian?
Did we?
Yeah.
Did we?
He's a lesbian.
Really?
I don't know if you guys knew that.
True.
But, something like that. But,
another thing, he cheated on Beyonce, like.
Oh, everybody's going crazy about that. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
On Beyonce. Like, no one's safe anymore.
I was tripping out by Eric Benet. I was up late last night. And
I was up late the night
the CD came out. And he's over, you know, Jay-Z dropped the Eric Benet line. Then it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Eric Benet's over here tweeting, like, my girl's the baddest.
Because he was Halle Berry, right?
Yeah, then it said she tastes like Prince. I was like, oh.
She what?
Tastes like Prince. You know.
Tastes like what?
You know, this is, you know, he got Prince's ex-wife.
Oh man, he really said. Oh man, now here's the thing. I'm surprised that there are some of the Beehive that aren't coming after Jay-Z for pretty much admitting that he, for once in his life, actually cheated on Beyonce.
Well, I think they believed it after Lemonade, because Lemonade, she's right. Like, he cheated. But I was like, okay, this is just a concept album. This is great job, Beyonce. She's acting. But Jay-Z said that, I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah. Really,
why would you cheat on Beyonce? I don't get it.
Men of power, man.
I've never had that much power before. So
a lot of women probably like, oh, wow. I feel like that's the type of thing, because, you know, Beyonce is really put on this pedestal, especially among, you know, especially among black women. Yeah, and, you know, and I feel like women across the board. So I feel like some are probably thinking like, oh, wow, Beyonce got cheated on?
Yeah,
so
no,
if she
no
can get cheated
safe.
On, anybody no can get cheated
yeah,
on.
Yeah, no one's
I mean,
safe.
With men in power comes women. So, you know, it can't be surprised. You know, a lot of these powerful men.
You think Barack cheated?
I don't know, like coming on ex-president.
I'm gonna plead the fifth on that. I'm gonna plead the fifth on that deal.
I ain't trying to have a special phone call or anything.
Look out.
I like to believe no. I'm gonna say no. I believe in you, Barry.
Yeah, I'm gonna go no on that. I'm gonna go on that note too. Like they too close. Like they now you want to talk about relationship goals? Barack and Michelle, they relationship goals for real. Like absolutely. Like, you know, they. Sometimes I just feel like, you know, sometimes they be posting stuff on Instagram. They look like a teenage couple. They look like high school, college sweethearts. Shout out hashtag Black Love. But
shout out Jeremy.
Shout out Jeremy, man. Big day for him.
Huge.
When this airs, I hope everything went according to plan, because that would be really awkward if it didn't.
Uh-oh, look out loud.
We'll talk about it next week on A-League.
Next week on the A-League, absolutely. So until next week, let's get to our outros once again. You know, this would usually be the part where Eric goes first, but, you know, he's not here today. I don't know, right? He's not here today. But Akeem Balaam, A-K-I-E-M, B-A-I-L-U-M. Twitter, Graham, Beyond the W. Check it out.
All right, this is David Norwood. Twitter is dnorwood90.
RashadMilligan.com. You can follow me on Twitter at WhoIsRickJames.
And that's the A-League. Peace out, y'all. See ya.
Come on, come on, come on. I rock the microphone. I had to thank the Lord. I am in rare form. I had to get it on. You never feed me. I use my own seasoning. Autograph cleavage. How many girls believe you? How many girls you tried? I know a girl you lied to. She wants your ass to die. I look you dead in your eye. It ripped the season. It right out the Easter. My pop meal regal. Put that on my visa. I need me some singles. Don't care if you're single. Take your